Ever feel like you're stuck on a treadmill? You know, just trading time for money?
Yeah.
We're diving into the heart of the entrepreneurial mindset today to see how anyone can build wealth, not just salaries. We're talking about rewiring your brain for abundance, not scarcity, and understanding the systems that make money work for you, not the other way around.
It's fascinating how much of this boils down to perception.
Right.
The source material talks about how most people see a finite pie when it comes to wealth. Entrepreneurs, they see ingredients and possibilities, constantly looking for ways to bake a bigger pie for everyone.
Okay, love that analogy. But it's one thing to talk about abundance, it's another to actually feel it and act on it. What clicked for you when we were prepping for this?
One of the articles mentioned this study about lottery winners versus accident victims who had similar windfalls. Turns out, happiness levels evened out over time, but the mindset difference was stark.
Interesting.
Those who'd earned their wealth through business ventures were far more likely to keep growing it because their thinking wasn't accidental, it was intentional.
Wow, so it's not just about the money itself, it's the thinking that got you there. Which makes sense because just wishing for wealth doesn't magically make it appear. Our source material is packed with strategies for making that shift from employee to entrepreneur. What were some of the highlights for you?
One that really resonated with me was the idea of moving from a consumer mindset to a producer mindset.
Okay.
As consumers, we're bombarded with advertising, always being told what to buy. Entrepreneurs flip the script. They focus on what they can offer, what solutions they can provide.
It's like that saying, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. Only in this case, we're not just talking about fishing, we're talking about any valuable skill or service you can offer.
Exactly. And this is where mastering a few key skills can really make a difference.
Hit me with the entrepreneurial starter pack. What do we absolutely need to level up our game?
Financial literacy is essential. And before you roll your eyes, this isn't about becoming Warren Buffett overnight.
Right.
The source material had this great breakdown of the Rule of 72,
Okay.
a super simple way to figure out how long it'll take for investment to double.
Okay.
Basically, you divide 72 by the annual interest rate, and boom, you've got a rough estimate. It just makes those financial decisions less intimidating.
That's incredibly useful, actually. I'm already thinking about how I can apply that to my own investments. It makes those numbers feel much less abstract and way more actionable. What else do we need in our arsenal?
Marketing and sales.
Okay.
Now, before you picture those pushy salespeople,
Yeah.
understand that effective marketing is about communicating value. It's about clearly articulating the problem you solve and showcasing how you solve it better than anyone else.
So it's not about being salesy. It's about
Yeah.
being clear, concise, and compelling in how you present yourself and your offerings. Basically, telling a story that resonates with your ideal customer.
Precisely. One of the articles dives into the problem agitation solution model for crafting persuasive messaging.
Oh, interesting.
Basically, you identify the pain point your audience feels. Agitate that pain by highlighting the consequences of inaction, and then swoop in with your solution as the knight in shining armor.
I like it.
It's Psychology 101 applied to marketing, and it's incredibly effective when done well.
Oh, okay. That's fascinating. I can see how understanding these underlying psychological principles could be a game changer for connecting with your target audience. But building a successful venture often involves more than just marketing, right?
Yeah.
What about leadership and management? How do those fit into the picture?
Especially if your goal is to build something bigger than yourself.
Right.
You'll need to inspire others, delegate effectively, and foster a shared vision. One of the books we reviewed highlighted the importance of building a team where everyone feels heard and valued. It talked about the two pizza rule, which basically means keeping teams small enough that they could be fed with two pizzas.
Okay.
The idea being smaller teams tend to communicate more effectively and get more done.
Smaller teams, more pizza makes sense to me. But even the best team needs direction. We talked about spotting opportunities, like recognizing a shift from consumer to producer. But how do we ensure we're not chasing after shiny objects?
That's where market research becomes invaluable.
Yeah.
It's not enough to have a good idea. You need to understand the market demand, the competition, the pricing landscape.
Right.
One of the sources, a book by a venture capitalist, stressed the importance of pain point validation. Don't just ask people if they like your idea. Ask them what frustrates them about the existing solutions in that area. Their pain points are your roadmap.
It's about digging deeper, understanding the why behind the what. So how does someone with limited resources even begin to conduct effective market research?
There are tons of free resources available these days. The book actually listed several online tools for competitor analysis. You can see what keywords your competitors are using, how much traffic they're getting, even what people are saying about them on social media. It's like having a backstage pass to their entire marketing strategy.
Wow, that's incredible. Okay, so we've got market research to validate our ideas. But the business world is constantly changing. How do we stay ahead of the curve?
That's where trend analysis comes in. Think of it like being a cultural detective.
Yeah.
One of the articles we read talked about the rise of personalized nutrition.
Uh-huh.
People are moving away from one-size-fits-all diets and seeking customized plans based on their DNA, their microbiome, their lifestyle.
Interesting.
This trend creates a ripple effect impacting everything from food tech startups to personalized supplement companies.
So it's not just about spotting a single trend. It's about understanding the interconnectedness of those trends and how they might create a wave of new opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
What you're describing sounds a bit like future forecasting.
It is. And the best entrepreneurs are often a bit like futurists, able to anticipate where the world is heading and position themselves accordingly. Another article actually mentioned a website that tracks emerging technologies. Imagine being able to see what's brewing in the labs before it hits the market. Talk about having a competitive edge.
Sign me up for that website. Okay, so we've got market research and trend analysis under our belts. What about those aha moments when inspiration strikes out of the blue?
Those are pure gold. The source material calls this problem solving. And it's often about identifying those everyday annoyances, those little frictions in our daily lives, and seeing them as opportunities for innovation.
Like that entrepreneur who invented the Swiffer because they were tired of their old mop.
Exactly. Or the founder of Spanx, who was frustrated with her undergarments and decided to create a better solution. These weren't necessarily groundbreaking technological advancements. They were simple, elegant solutions to common problems.
Proof that sometimes the best business ideas come from solving our own problems. Speaking of problems, let's talk about risk. Every entrepreneur faces setbacks, challenges, even the occasional flop. How do we navigate those choppy waters without capsizing the entire ship?
The key is to reframe risk. Instead of viewing it as something to be feared, see it as an inherent part of the process. One of the books actually called it embracing the wobble.
Embracing the wobble, I like that. It suggests a certain level of flexibility, adaptability, even a bit of humor when things inevitably go sideways.
Exactly. The author, an experienced entrepreneur herself, shared a story about a product launch that completely flopped. Instead of throwing in the towel, she analyzed what went wrong, gathered feedback from her customers, and used that information to iterate and improve.
So it's not just about bouncing back from failure. It's about using those experiences as fuel for growth.
Precisely. She went on to say that sometimes our biggest failures can be our greatest teachers.
Okay, so we're embracing the wobble, learning from our mistakes, but we also need to be smart about how we approach risk right. What about diversification?
Absolutely. One of the financial experts we read emphasized the importance of not putting all your eggs in one basket. Don't bet your entire future on a single product, a single client, or a single marketing channel.
So spread those entrepreneurial bets, diversify your income streams, and create a safety net for when those inevitable wobbles occur.
Precisely. Think of it like a stock portfolio.
Yeah.
You wouldn't invest all your money in a single stock, would you?
Not unless I really enjoyed living on the edge. So diversification is about mitigating risk by spreading our resources and efforts across multiple areas.
Exactly. It's about creating a more resilient and sustainable business model that can weather the inevitable storms of the entrepreneurial journey. And here's a pro tip from one of the articles. Consider diversifying your income streams beyond just your core business. Could you create and sell an online course based on your expertise? Could you write an ebook? Could you offer consulting services on the side? These side hustles not only provide additional income streams, they also diversify your risk profile and often lead to unexpected opportunities.
Multiple income streams, a safety net, and a world of new possibilities. Diversification sounds like a win-win. But even with the best laid plans, unexpected obstacles can arise. How do we prepare for the unknown?
That's where contingency planning comes into play.
Okay, so having a plan B and maybe even a plan C.
Precisely. One of the articles used the analogy of a chess master always thinking several moves ahead, anticipating their opponent's next move. Successful entrepreneurs do the same thing, but instead of anticipating a competitor's move, They're anticipating potential roadblocks and brainstorming solutions before those roadblocks become major obstacles.
So it's about thinking proactively, anticipating potential challenges, and having a plan in place to navigate those challenges. Like, what happens if a key supplier goes out of business? What if a new competitor emerges? What if, heaven forbid, my laptop crashes and I lose all my data?
Exactly. One of the books even suggested having a disaster preparedness kit for your business. It sounds extreme, but having a backup of your essential files, contact information, and financial records can be a lifesaver in case of an emergency. It's about being prepared, not paranoid.
Being prepared, not paranoid. I like that. It takes the fear out of the equation and allows us to approach those potential challenges with a sense of calm and control. Okay, so we're diversifying, we're planning for contingencies, we're embracing the wobble. All of this sounds incredibly empowering. But let's be real, at the end of the day, we're all here because we want to crack the code on wealth creation. So how do we go from entrepreneurial hopefuls to bona fide wealth creators? What's the secret sauce?
It all boils down to one word, value. The more value you create, the more wealth you generate.
Okay, that makes sense intuitively. But how do we define value in a practical sense? What does it actually mean to create value in the marketplace?
It can manifest in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Solving a pressing problem. Making something faster or more efficient, enhancing people's lives through experiences, connecting people in meaningful ways.
So it's not just about selling a product or a service. It's about understanding a need and fulfilling it in a way that makes people's lives easier, better, or more enjoyable.
Exactly. One of the articles highlighted this company that's doing incredible things with virtual reality.
Okay.
They've created these immersive experiences for people in hospice care. Allowing them to travel the world, revisit cherished memories, even connect with loved ones virtually.
That's amazing.
They're not just selling a technology, they're providing comfort, connection, a sense of closure during a difficult time.
Yeah.
That's true value creation.
That's an incredible example. It really highlights how innovation can be used to address deeper human needs. So how do we tap into that same vein of value creation in our own ventures?
The source material breaks it down into several key areas. We've already talked about problem solving, but it's worth reiterating how crucial that is. Don't create a product or service just because you think it's cool.
Right.
Create it because it solves a real problem for a real group of people.
It's about scratching an itch, but not just your own right. It's about identifying a pain point in the market and offering a solution that people are willing to pay for.
Precisely. And remember, the bigger the problem you solve, the greater the potential value and wealth you create.
Hmm.
Another powerful way to create value is by improving efficiency.
So streamlining processes, automating tasks, making things faster, smoother, more cost-effective.
Exactly. One of the books cited the example of Amazon Prime. Before Prime, ordering something online often meant dealing with multiple shipping fees, delivery delays, and a general lack of transparency. Amazon swooped in and created a system that simplified the entire process, offering unlimited two-day shipping-free returns and a host of other perks, all for a single annual fee. They created massive value by streamlining the online shopping experience, and it's a big part of what's made them such a dominant force in e-commerce.
It's amazing how such a seemingly simple innovation can disrupt an entire industry. It makes you wonder, what's the next Amazon Prime waiting to be invented? What everyday frustrations are we overlooking that could be turned into billion-dollar businesses?
Now, here's a dimension of value creation that's often overlooked. Enhancing experiences. We live in a world saturated with information and choices, which is why experiences have become such a valuable commodity.
Experiences. So we're talking about creating products and services that go beyond functionality and tap into something more emotional, more visceral.
Precisely. Think about the rise of boutique fitness studios.
Okay.
They're not just selling workouts. They're selling a sense of community belonging and personalized attention. They understand that people are craving more than just a transaction. They're creating an experience.
They're creating a space where people feel seen, supported, and motivated to be their best selves. It's brilliant, actually, when you think about it. So how do we apply this principle of enhancing experiences to other industries, other products, other services?
It requires a shift in perspective. Instead of just thinking about what your product does, think about how it makes people feel. Can you elevate a mundane experience into something more enjoyable, more memorable, more meaningful?
Okay. So we've talked about solving problems, improving efficiency, and enhancing experiences. What other avenues for value creation did our sources reveal?
This one might surprise you. Education and empowerment. We live in an information age, which means knowledge is a variable currency. If you possess expertise in a particular area, You have the potential to create value by sharing that knowledge with others.
So it's not just about consuming information anymore. It's about packaging our own knowledge and experiences in a way that others find valuable and are willing to pay for.
Exactly. Think online courses, workshops, coaching programs, membership sites. There are endless ways to monetize your expertise in today's digital landscape. One of the books we read told the story of this woman who turned her passion for knitting into a thriving online business.
Oh, wow.
She created a series of video tutorials teaching people how to knit from beginner to advanced levels.
So she identified a niche, leveraged her expertise, and created a platform to share her knowledge with a global audience. It's incredible to think that something as seemingly niche as knitting can become a viable business in the digital age.
It's a testament to the power of the internet to connect people around shared interests and create opportunities for entrepreneurship that wouldn't have existed even a decade ago. And speaking of connection, that brings us to our final point. Creating value by connecting people.
Connection. So we're talking about the power of community, bringing people together around shared interests, goals, or values.
Exactly. Think about the success of social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. At their core, they're all about connecting people.
And those connections create value both for the users and for the platforms themselves. But building a successful social media platform requires a massive amount of resources and technical expertise. How can the average entrepreneur tap into the power of connection on a smaller scale?
It starts with identifying a niche. Mm-hmm. What are people passionate about? What shared interests or challenges bring them together? One of the articles highlighted this woman who created an online community for women going through menopause.
So she identified a demographic with a shared experience, created a safe and supportive online space, and fostered a sense of community. That's amazing. I imagine that kind of connection is invaluable for women navigating that stage of life.
Absolutely. And she's not alone. There are countless examples of entrepreneurs building successful businesses by creating communities around everything from gardening to gaming to gourmet cheese making.
It's a reminder that even in our increasingly digital world, human connection remains a powerful driver of value creation.
Exactly. At the end of the day, people crave connection, belonging, and a sense of community. If you can tap into those desires, you're well on your way to building a successful and fulfilling business.
This has been an incredible journey. We've explored the entrepreneurial mindset from every angle, from shifting our thinking and developing essential skills to spotting opportunities, managing risks, and creating value in the marketplace.
And we've just scratched the surface. The world of entrepreneurship is vast and constantly evolving, which is what makes it so exciting.
So to our listeners who are feeling that entrepreneurial spark, that desire to create something meaningful and build a life on their own terms, what's the one piece of advice we can leave them with today?
Don't be afraid to take that first step. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
And remember, as we learned today, even those wobbles along the way can lead to incredible breakthroughs. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of entrepreneurship and wealth creation. We'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration of the ideas shaping our world.